Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf. Baba Metzia, Daf Mem Dalet. We are at the Mishnah on Mem Gimel and Beis, seven lines off the bottom. If a Shomer, who is entrusted with an item, decides, contemplates, and actually, according to Rashi and Tosfos, expressed verbally his intention to actually misuse the item and divert it for personal use, what happens now? Beishami Oimrim, that constitutes Shlichus Yad. Even though he hadn't yet physically touched it, he already is considered like a Gazlon and assumes full responsibility even for accidental loss. Chayev. No, he doesn't get that status until he actually uses it. Shenemar. So the point is, you're not meant to touch it. Otherwise, you're a shaleich yad. He didn't touch it yet. Now, hito es hachavis. Let's say he actually physically approaches the barrel of wine that he was entrusted with, and he just tipped it without actually lifting it up. And he siphoned off a revius of wine for personal use. In the shtabra, and then the barrel breaks by accident. Is he fully responsible? No, he pays for the revius because he didn't really do a full shalichus yad, because he didn't really pick up the item. He didn't do a kinyan. But higbiya, if he lifted the entire barrel, v'notal himen arvias, and then siphoned off a revias, a small amount of wine, v'nishbor, and then it breaks, mishal mekula, he pays for the full barrel, because now he was kinyan, he acquired the barrel through a kinyan hagba. He's a full shalich yad, he's like a gazlan, he's chayiv even for an accident, for an inus. Minan amili, let's go back to Beis Shammai. Even by simply expressing verbally your intent, you're already considered a gazlan. How do we know this? Tanu Rabbanan, al kol dvar pesha, verbals. So that also constitutes a violation. Beis Shammai omrim melamed shechayev al machshava kemaaseh. Even machshava, in this case machshava means intent expressed verbally, it constitutes like a maaseh. Has the same level as a mas, as though he actually misused it in his chayiv. Until he actually uses it. He reached out to it. What happened to our pasuk? I'll call dvar pesha, even verbals. What about our pasuk? He physically contacted the item. If that's so, says the Gemara, according to Beis Hillel, Ma tamalaymar, I'll call Dvar Pesha. Right? So Beis Hillel is conceding. I mean, what does Dvar Pesha mean? It's coming to tell you something entirely different. That even if you made a shaliach, you sent somebody to be shaliach yad your chayev, which is a chiddush. Shayachat in li alahu. Perhaps the status of shaliach yad only applies to the person himself. Who is shaleach yad? What about if he asked somebody else to do it on his behalf? Omar la'avdo yishlucha, yes, is ever shliach to divert this deposit for personal use. Minayin, how do we know that the shomer is responsible? Because he is the mishaleach. Tamalei makol dvar pesha, even through verbals, such as appointing somebody to be shaleach yad on your behalf, your chayv, which is a chiddush, typically, ein shliach l'dvar avira. Typically, when a person sends someone to do somebody improper for him, the person himself is liable, not the sender. But we have three exceptions, one of which is shaleach yad, learn from this pasuk. The other two is our meila, right? If a person asks somebody to misuse hegdish property for him, or when a person stole an animal and they shecht the animal, tvicha or mechira selo, or they shecht it, even if it's done through a shliach, the gan of Ischaya, four or five times as much. He does a chavis. Now, if he actually made physical contact with a barrel of wine, but he just tipped it, and he took off a little bit, he's only chayef for that little bit. That's only because it broke. It's an oinus. And on the one hand, he didn't really do a kinyan. On the other hand, it was an oinus, so he's not chayef. Aval, hechmitza. But if the content of this wine barrel went sour due to his siphoning off that revius, which created that sort of oxidization effect, mishalem is kua. Because it's no longer vacuum packed, and he himself caused that directly. And therefore he's fully responsible for the entire barrel. My time, a gear today. It's like his arrows. He directly caused this loss. Now if he lifted the whole barrel and he took a bit off it, in this case he did a full kinyan, he's fully chayev. Amar Shmuel, you should know, loy notal, even though the mission speaks about him taking, notal mamish, it doesn't necessarily mean he actually took off some wine. Elikiva sheik bialito. Rather, since he intended, when he lifted, this was his plan, I'm going to take off some wine. Ava bishalei notal, even though he didn't actually take off the wine, he's chayev. And Rashi explains, you know why? Oh, the Gemara will explain why. First, the Gemara is a kasha. Lei mukas of Shmuel. Shluchus yad einat tzricha chisar, and the Shmuel hold that even without actually diminishing the item, without actually, you know, depreciating the item, you have committed shlichus yad, which is a machlokes. Does Shmuel mean to say that? And therefore he's liable despite the fact that he didn't actually take some wine? No, says the army like, no. Here he actually diverted. Why? Shami hacha, the nichale. Because he's pleased that the havi, hachavis kula, that the rest of the content in this barrel should serve his purposes. Should keep his revius that he plans on taking, keep it company and fresh. And, you know, vacuum packed. It should be like did you have a chavis kula? Buses. It would be like a base. It's just a term, meaning it should keep it company. It should keep it safe and fresh. Lahar revius, this revius that he plans on taking, should be protected by the rest. That's the way it works. When it's all together and vacuum packed tightly in the barrel, then everything stays fresh and good. So the way Rashi explains it is like this. When he lifted the barrel with the intention to take a revius, even though he didn't actually yet take possession of that revius, he didn't remove the revius off the bottle, but it's as though he did so. It's as though he took it and put it right back, because he wants it back there for the time being to keep it safe and fresh. So now he's like using the rest as well. He didn't actually steal the rest, but he's making use of the rest to keep his revius in that barrel safe and fresh, so he's fully responsible for everything. Boy Ravashi, what if he stole a coin out of a money pouch? Higbiya Arnaki, so the Shomer lifted the money pouch, which was entrusted in his care, with the intention to take just a little bit, one coin, litoil himen a dino, to take out a dino. Ma, what is the halacha here? Chamru hudloi minter ela agav chamru. So, yeah, when it comes to wine is really only protected when it's amongst other wine, meaning when it's sitting in a full barrel, then everything protects each other, as we explained. So he's really making use of the whole thing. I will use a minter, but, you know, a coin? One coin doesn't need other coins as company. It can be fully safe and secure just by itself. So basically, even though he planned on taking one coin, we don't apply this concept. It's as though he took it and put it back to keep company. No, there's no point in doing that. So therefore, until he actually takes it, he hasn't taken it yet. Yeah, it's comparable to the barrel of wine. You know, it's easier to keep an eye on a full money pouch. I mean, Terusa the Dino, rather than just looking after one coin, which can easily get stolen or lost. So perhaps we can apply the same concept here as well. And basically, by lifting up this pouch with the intention of taking one coin, we look at it as though he already took it, but he's leaving it there for the time being to enhance its safety and security. Take it or leave it as an unresolved question. So bottom line, if one actually reaches out and touches the item under his care, he's a shaleich yad. He's fully responsible. What if he's just planning and he expresses that verbally? Mishal may say, Yochayiv, Mishil will disagree. Hadron lacha mafkid. Continues a new Mishnah, a new perek. Hazov koines hakesef. So basically, the concept behind this Mishnah is like this. When one engages in commerce, he pays for an item. The halacha is, in order to really to really acquire the item that he's buying, to complete that transaction, to complete the process, what is required? A meshicha. You have to actually physically pull the item into your possession. And it's the item that you have to do meshicha on. Not the money, rather the item. The item that constitutes commodity, constitutes merchandise. So basically you pay a dollar for a banana. The banana is called the peris. Now peris, as we've said many times, doesn't necessarily mean fruit and vegetables. It just means the item that you're buying, the commodity, the merchandise. Okay, produce, fruit, vegetables, cars, chairs, table, right? And then we have the currency on the other side, which is called, the kesef. But kesef typically can mean silver as well. So that's what the Gemara uses the word tiva. Tiva means, a coined currency, a legal tender. Okay? So in the context of our conversation, we're going to have basically two terms to work with. In a typical sale, we have the tiva, what we call money, legal tender. And then we have the peris, which can be a term referring to any sort of commodity or merchandise. And as we explained, in order for the transaction to actually take effect, you have to make a mishicha on the peris, not on the money, on the peris. Hazov koines hakesef. Let's say you're exchanging two types of coins. You have a gold coin, zav, and a silver coin, and you're switching. You're basically buying one with the other. So Reuben has his gold coins. He's handing it to Shimon, who is exchanging it with him for his silver coins. So when does the transaction take place? As soon as you make Meshicha on what? On the Zahav. Because in this context, when it's gold coins vis-a-vis silver coins, the Zahav constitutes the commodity. Because silver in those days were more easily, spent and more readily accepted in the markets. It was a more common currency, a more common coin to be used in transactions and sales. So that constitutes tiva, that's the money, and the meshicha has to take place on the zav. So as soon as Shimon does meshicha on the zav, so now the kesef that he was meant to pay Reuben belongs to Reuben, the sale has now been completed and executed. Hakesef ain't a koines hazav, but meshicha on the kesef, which constitutes legal tender in this regard, doesn't trigger the process and get you the gold. Now, let's say it's silver versus copper. So you have these copper, let's say, pennies, prutes. Again, weren't as popular as the silver coins. So the nechayshis vis-a-vis silver, in this case, the nechayshis is the peris, is the commodity, and the kesef is the money. Ha-nechayshis kenes ha-kesef. So the kinyan meshicha on the nechayshis triggers the process and gets you the kesef. But on the flip side, if you make a kinyan meshicha on the money, on the silver coins, that's money. You can't acquire the nechesh through that. Another example, Moisa Royce, you have money that's been out of circulation. That doesn't constitute legal tender, that's commodity. Koines es hayavis. Meshicha on that gets you the proper legal tender. Vayavis ain't in koines es hayavis, but a kinyan on the yavis doesn't get you the royce. You make a kinyan on a unminted slug. Okay, it's like a piece of precious metal. It's a commodity. So yeah, the kinyan on that affects the matbeya, gets you the matbeya because the sale has not been executed, but not the kinyan on the matbeya. But matbeya ain't a kinyan asimun. And finally, we have metatlin. You make a kinyan on a car. Kinyan asimun. Now you deserve to get paid because the kinyan has been executed, but a matbeya ain't a kinyan asimun. Let's say you flip two items. So yeah, whether you're using a kinyan chalipin, Rashi says, which is a special kinyan which allows you to flip two things, so or you're considering the second item as payment for the first item. Either way, once you make a meshicha, that triggers the process. Ketzat, Moshe chemenu peris, ulinosnali mois. Let's say I'm buying some bananas, so I did meshicha on the bananas, I didn't yet pay you for it. I can't change my mind because the kinyan has been executed. But conversely, if I took receipt of the money, but there was no meshicha on the peris, they can change their mind because the process has not yet been completed. But this is not really a proper way to approach things. You're not meant to go back on your word. The Chacham said, Mishe Pora Hashem, who applied retribution, people at the Mabul's time, which weren't the most honest people, likewise, the people who dispersed when they built the Tower of Babel. So all those Einshim should be applied to this person who doesn't stand by his word and cancels deals for no, you know, apparent reason. Who also li pora mimishena amid debura, Hashem is going to punish a person who does not, amid debura, he does not stick to his words. Now the Tanakam, the Chachamim hold, until you make a mishicha on the peris, anybody, the seller, the buyer, can really technically cancel the deal. Rav Shimon disagrees. Rav Shimon Oimer, only the seller can do so. Kol shakasa biyadi, the seller who has the money, he can change his mind. Yodel yon, he has the upper hand, but not the buyer. Then we'll explain exactly what, why, and when. So bottom line, the Mishnah teaches us a very important principle that a mishicha, which is being used to trigger or to conclude a deal, is only effective when applied to the peris aspect of the deal and not to the money aspect. Now, when it comes to gold versus silver, right? Gold coins versus silver coins, so according to our version in our Mishnah, the first item in the Mishnah, we consider gold as the peris versus kesef as the mois. But Masni Rebbe HaKadosh, who compiled the Mishnah, he was learning with his son, and he taught his son, Reb Shimon Brei, HaZov Kones HaKesef, right? As per our Mishnah, Zov is called the peris versus the kesef, as we explained, because Rashi explained it, because the kesef is charifi li notim beitzo, which means to say the marketplace is ready to accept silver. It seems to be a more of a common and a more commonly used currency and a more popular way of paying for things. So, and for that reason, we consider kesef as the currency. That was Rebbe's lesson to his son. Amalei, so Rabbi Shimon, the son, turned to his father and he called him Rabbi, my teacher. You recall in your youth, in your young age, you flipped it around. You considered the gold coin as the money part of the deal because gold is more prominent, more expensive, more valuable. Hakesef koines hazav. So kesef is the peiros versus the gold, and therefore the kinyan is meant to be taking place on the kesef. Now in your older age, you're flipping it around and you're saying Hazav Koines HaKesef. So there are two versions of this halacha. And the Gemara is going to try and explore, you know, why this shift in attitude. And there is merit to each approach. Bialduse Maisover, Ubeziknuse Maisover. What was his opinion in his youth when he considered the gold coins as currency, as legal tender, as, you know, the money aspect, and ubeziknusim myselfer, and in his older age, why did he flip it around and considered the silver coins as legal tender and currency versus the zav? Explains the Gemara. But Yalduse Sover, in his early days, he held dahava dechoshev habitiva, gold coins which are more prominent, more valuable, that's called money. Kaspat lechoshev, as opposed to silver coins, isn't as prominent, isn't as valuable, avipera, that constitutes a commodity. You can only pay the tip, and the kinyan done on the silver, which is the pay raise, get you the money, that concludes the deal. That was the former version. But later on, he flipped it around. It's all about practicalities. Kas for the charev, have tip. Silver coins, which are more readily accepted at the marketplace, Rashi calls it Eivar Lasoicher, it's a more popular way of paying for things, that's called money, that's local currency. The have the charev, but gold coins, as fancy as they are, but they're not the most commonly used things. Have a pair, that constitutes commodity. The currently pair of the tiva, and a kinyan on the pairs get you the money. So bottom line, is it about value and prominence? That was the first version, versus practicality and commonality and popularity. That was the later version. Amar Ravashi, Kiel Duse Mistavra. I think it's more probable to go the earlier version. It's about value. Gold was considered legal tender vis-a-vis silver. Why? Take a look at the next part of the Mishnah. And that would sort of show us that apparently the old version was correct. Because as Rashi says, Stam Mishnah is Reb Meir. And probably Rebbe, who was a Talmud of Reb Meir, heard from Reb Meir that in fact the gold is considered the legal tender, because that's more consistent with the next part of the Mishnah, which typically reflects Reb Meir's Shita. Stam Mishnah reflects Reb Meir. Okay, so what does the Mishnah continue? Next part of the Mishnah, next step is matching up, you know, copper, right? Prutais, in our language, pennies, right? Pennies to the quarters, to the silver coins. What constitutes a commodity? Nechoshes, right? Nechoshes Kenes HaKesef. So in this context, we say that once again, silver coins are considered legal tender vis-a-vis copper. So now, Iyamas b'shleima kaspa l'gabe dehava perahavi. If you go with the first version, the earlier version of things, that comparing silver to gold, again, everything here is talking about coins. Not talking about bullion or, you know, just precious metal. We're talking about within the coin family, within the currency family. So this type of metal versus that type of metal, you know, how do we match it up? So bottom line, if we go with the formula, the earlier formula of Rebbe, which is that silver coins versus gold coins, right? The silver is called Peirahavi because of the prominence of the gold. So in that matchup, silver is Peiris. And that's where the Mishnah has to go now and trouble itself to bring out the next point. No, actually, in a different context, in a different matchup, silver takes on a new role. So silver versus copper, silver not considered, is considered the money aspect. That's why the Mishnah goes on to say, we match up silver with gold with the copper with silver, the nechayishis in this case is called iperis. Because although when matching up silver with gold, the silver is considered peris because it doesn't match up with the gold. Still, in all, when you match it up with copper, which is less prominent than silver, now the silver took on a new life, a new identity, a new label. It's called money. But if we go with the other approach, which is our girsa and our mission, that matching up silver to gold concludes with silver being considered legal tender, being considered the currency, so why is there any need to expound on a matchup between silver and copper? Look, if even silver versus gold, and gold is way more valuable, more prominent, what do we say? Amr's Tibahavi, we say that, no, silver, due to its practical side, is considered tiva, considered the money. Certainly the gabin achoshes. Certainly if you match up silver with copper, where silver has two advantages over copper. The gabin achoshes, the iu chashim, number one, silver is more valuable, more prominent. Number two, biyu charef. And it's more over the seicher. It's more commonly used in the market. So certainly, certainly, do we even have to speak about this? Says the Gemara, yeah. Israel, there would be a reason to speak about it. Perhaps I would say, because these copper coins, these pennies, Basra Gasagi, true. Not in all marketplaces do they accept, you know, something they say, no pennies allowed, right? Not always do they. But in places where they're happy to accept pennies, Basra Gasagi, you know, Harif, it's Tvemi Kaspa. They're more popular than even silver. So perhaps emotiv ahavi, perhaps that grants them the status of currency. Kamash mon dechidish is no. No, kivad ikaduchta le sagibi. Since in some locales they don't go with copper. Rather they insist on silver coins, peirahavi. So now copper constitutes commodity as opposed to silver, which is currency. Because silver is universal. Okay, so we thought we had it right from the Mishnah, like the old version of Rebbe, and we concluded otherwise. But va'af Rabbi Chiya savar, it seems that Rabbi Chiya, who was Rebbe's uncle, who was Rav's uncle actually, also went with the opinion that savar dahava tivahavi, that gold actually assumes the status of a currency versus the silver. Why? How do we know this? The Rav Oisif Dinri. Rav one time borrowed some gold coins from Rav Chia's daughter, so basically his cousin. And so Yaakov Dinri, turns out that the gold coins increased in value, which creates an issue for ribbis, right? Also come to Rav Chia, so he came to Rav Chia, what a shy, what should I do? Amalei says, pay it up in full. Zil shalma, pay it up. Tavanat kill, the best and the most, you know, full weight. Don't cut any corners. Fully weighted gold coins. How could he do that? Now, if, let's analyze the psak. If gold coins are considered tiv of money, so money is a static entity. It has inherent value, so to speak. $100, $100. Shoppers, that explains why you can pay her back the exact amount of coins that he took, despite the fact that it has more buying power. You don't attribute the increase in value to the currency. You say, you know, milk dropped in price. You don't say the dollar's worth more, right? So he didn't give her more than he took. Eli Amos Pei Rahavi. But if you go the other approach, which is the approach of our Mishnah, that gold coins, it's called peiros. So Havali Sava Sava Osir. So just as you can't borrow, you know, a sa'a of, let's say, flour and give it back a sa'a of flour, because if it goes up in price, you're in trouble. You gave him more than you took. So if you borrowed, you know, a certain amount of precious metal, i.e. gold coins, and now it's worth more, you're giving him back more than you took? Because we attribute the added value to the actual gold. Says the Gemara, no. Rav really had his own supply of golden coins. And that diminishes, that sort of preempts the whole issue of ribis. Given the Havalei Dinri, since he had his own supply of gold coins, even when he borrowed, he had his own, you know, place that he, Nasa Kermel, it says, though he told her, when he took the, you know, the loan, Halveni, just lend it to me for a time, a couple of minutes. It's not a real loan. Atcha Yavei Bini, until my son comes around and he gives me, and he delivers my stuff. Oh yeah, Chem, so I can find the key to get to the place. That's how Halacha, we're going to see Bez Hashem in, you know, the next prayer, Perek Ezer Neshech. So basically, this whole idea of Sabasah, avoiding this type of arrangement, is only when you don't have it. But if you have your own supply, and you can technically just give it to this lender right away, so it's looked at as just like a temporary favor, not like a real, you know, loan arrangement, in which case, even if the item eventually goes up in value, there's no issue, because whatever you already had in your possession, was as if it was given over to that person right away, as if it was committed to him, so we don't view it as a long-term arrangement, long-term loan, which would appear like ribis. Amar Rava, I'll bring you another source to this idea that gold is considered a currency as opposed to commodity. The following Tana as well seems to hold that golden coins are considered legal tender rather than a commodity. This is Sanya, we have a price. Many times in Mishnayos, Gemara, we discuss a pruta. What's the value of a pruta? Pruta Shamru is Echad Mishmoina B'Isar Italki. It's an eighth of an Italian Isar. That's what it is. What's the point of this? Why do we need to know the value? The Kedusha Isha, for instance, to know the required value for a Kedushin, right? Which is a minimum of a pruta. Next, what's an Isser? How much is that worth? Echad me'esrim v'arba b'dinah shel kesef. One silver dinar gets you 24 Isser. So you know how much that is. What's the point of this? To know when you're getting a fair deal, right? In exchange for your dinar, you should be getting 24 isarim. And finally, dinar shel kesef. What's the value of a silver dinar? So we sort of are progressing upwards. What's the dinar shel kesef? It's a 25th of a gold dinar. Echad me'esrim v'chamish of dinar shel zav. Matter of fact, what's the point of learning this? Rabin Naben. So when you redeem your firstborn child, we know you give the kohen 5 selaim. Each sel has 4 dinar. Okay? So let's say you gave the kohen, instead of giving him, you know, 5 times 4 dinar, which is 20 dinar, you gave him a gold dinar. Gold dinar is 25. So you deserve back 5, which is 20% of that value. That's a standard formula. You give him a dinar zav, the kohen gives you back 20%. E amras b'shloimu tiva havi. Now, this all makes very, very much sense. If the Tana regarded the dinar shel zav, that gold coin, as tiva, as money, as legal tender, as currency. Mishair Tana b'midi d'kayetz. So that explains why the Tana set forth this formula, because it's a set formula. It's a static situation. It's not changing. So even if the gold coin can buy more or buy less, it doesn't matter. It's still the same entity, in which case, you give it to the coin, you get back 20%. Early Amr's Pei Rahavi, but, according to the other approach, that gold coins constitute pay raise, which is a fluctuating entity. Commodities, merchandise, those things go up and down in value. If it's Pei Rahavi, Mishair Tana b'midi d'oike b'zil, so why would the Tana get involved in telling you this thing? Because basically, it's not a consistent thing, it's not a static entity, it fluctuates. Gold fluctuates. It can go up in value, it can go down in value, right? So Zimnan the Mahadli Kahana, so let's say, you chose to use a gold dinar for Pidin HaBen. How much are you going to get back? Well, you have to look at the market. How much is the gold coin worth today? Can you buy more gold, silver coin, or less silver? And basically, based on that, you're going to be getting back change. Sometimes you'll be getting back change, sometimes not. Maybe if the gold dropped so drastically, you're going to have to add to the coin. The Zimnan the Mahadli Kahana. Sometimes the coin will give you some change, but sometimes not. The Zimnan the Moisivli. You, the Kahana. Sometimes you'll have to add to the coin because the gold coins worth so little. So the fact that the Tana seems to be establishing it as a set formula indicates to us that gold is a non-fluctuating entity. A gold coin is a gold coin, and you're always getting back 20% as change. That proves our point. Here comes another Mishnah, Maseches Maaser Sheni. Before we continue, let's just recap, bottom line. The idea here is that when you pay for an item, the item that you're buying is called payers, and the Mashiach takes place on that, and that triggers the whole process. That concludes the Kinyan and entitles the seller to his money. Now, what constitutes money? What constitutes a commodity? So according to our approach, our Mishnah, it's about Iver L'Secher. What's regarded as a more popular, more common form of payment? So when it comes to gold versus silver, it's silver. Silver versus copper, it's silver, etc., etc. It's not awesome. We have a Mishnah Maseches Maaser Sheni. V'shamu Imrim, lo yasa adam sla'av din rizav. So a fellow had, you know, produce growing in his field, which required Maaser Sheni deductions. He takes the Maaser Sheni, but he's going to bring it to Yerushalayim in a couple of months. In the meantime, he's going to transfer the holiness onto money, right? So the Kedusha gets Neschal onto money. And he has Slayim. Slayim are these silver coins. And it's getting a bit much for him to carry, so he's going to convert them to more valuable coins, which decrease the amount of coins, obviously, right? So he shouldn't bump it up. Well, he asks Adam Slav Dinar Yisrael. You can't bump it up. You can't convert it to gold dinar. Mesil Matir, Mesil say you can do that. Okay, now we have two ways of explaining the Machlekes. Got to hold on tight. Rabbi Yechon, Reish Lakish. There's Machlekes between these two Amirayim. Chad Amar Machlekes Bislaim Al Dinar. So basically, he's trying to convert, switch silver for gold. So Machlekes is regarding slime over to dinar. Okay? Silver to gold. The Bishamer Savri, Kaspa Tiva. They have a pair. Bishamer go with basically the formula set forth in our Mishnah that Dahava is Kaspa is Tiva, Dahava is Pera. Silver coins are regarded as money, gold coins as Peras. Vitiva, Apera, Lemichalilam. You can't do that anymore. You can't take, that's Alocha Maaser Sheni. You can't take Maaser Sheni money and convert it onto Peras. You want to take it to your shlaim and buy with it food, doesn't it? But you can't do chilul on a commodity. So it doesn't work. It would be still a savri, we still go with the other approach, like Rebbe's first, version. Then it's the other way around. We still a savri kaspa pera, but the habitim, it's all about prominence, value. In which case, the gold, the haba is the tiva, the gold is considered the money here. And kaspa, the silver, is peris. So you're good to go. Pera, tiva, machalim. You can take silver and move it on to gold because it's peris onto money. So that's the machlekes. Aval peris al dinarin. But let's say you're starting off the whole process. You have Maaser Sheni fruit right here. You want to convert the kedusha onto dinar and gold coins. You can do that. There's no question. You can all agree you can do that. Because in this context, meaning coins versus food, even if it's gold coins, it certainly constitutes money. Gold versus silver, not. Maybe not. But gold versus bananas? Of course the gold is money. My time and why? Meaning to have a kessel beisilo. Just like, according to beisilo. They just finished telling us that, if it's gold versus silver, silver is not really regarded as the having that money title, right? Right? So Kesel Beisil, according to Beisil's approach, money is what? Avagav the Kaspel Gav the Hava. If it's silver coins in a matchup with gold coins, no match, right? Peravi. Silver is called Peris. That's only because it's being matched up with gold. So relative to gold, right? But Lagavi Perativ Ahavi. But certainly if you match up the silver coins with bananas, we all agree that you can convert the bananas into silver coins because in this matchup, of course, the silver coins are considered money. So just as that's true, Zahav Namil Beishamai. Same thing with the gold, according to Beishamai. Even if when you match up the gold to the silver, Peirah, the gold is called Peirahis, But relative to bananas, of course, it's called money. L'gavi pera, tivahavi. So that's one approach. V'chad amar, the other one disagrees. Between Riach and Rish Lakish, right? So the other approach to the machlekes v'sham yisil is like this. V'chad amar, afi peris, al dinar machlekes. No. No, not so simple. Even if you take gold coins and match it up with bananas. So coin two. So we'll have the same achleikas, which means that according to Beis Shammai, gold is peiros. You can't do chilul on it. According to Beis Hillel, it's okay. Ask the Gemara, the Amar, af peiros, al dinar machleikas. According to the second approach. In all situations, gold coins are called peiros. According to Beis Shammai, even if you're trying to convert, even if you're trying to transfer the Kedusha from peiros, from the bananas onto the gold coins, you have the same achleikas. Al the miflugi b'slan al dinar. So why get involved in gold versus silver? Speak about a more basic case, which is a bigger chiddush. Instead of speaking about converting slain to dinrin, silver to gold, lift like with pairs al dinrin. Just speak about bananas onto gold coins. That's a huge chiddush to say that according to Beis Shammai doesn't work. You're right. If look, with pairs al dinrin, if we had presented machlekas like that, have I mean I would think machlekas is only there. Hanamilu with pairs al dinrin. It's only when you're trying to transfer from the bananas onto the gold coins we have a machlekes. Aval b'slain al dinrin. But when you're going from slain, which are silver coins, to dinar, which are gold coins, perhaps all agree you can't do that because the gold coins vis-a-vis the silver coins don't qualify as tender. Moedlen, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, even Beis Hillel would agree to Beis Shammai that the havel gabi kasfa, when you match up gold coins, which aren't so popular and useful, to silver coins, peravi, the havel gabakasu, peravi. Gold is considered a commodity, and you can't push through this process. You can't do the chilul in this case. Kamashman, the point is no. Even there, even when you're matching up gold coins to silver coins, even there, Beis Hillel hold. Even there, Beis Hillel hold it works. Because they hold that the gold is actually more prominent and constitutes ma'is kamashmalam. So that's about this time. Now, basically, you realize what happened. We had a Mishnah. Then we had the old version of Rebbe, the new version of Rebbe, and basically the crux of the point was, what carries the date? Value, prominence, such as in the gold coin. That was the old version. And the new version, our Mishnah hold, no, it's about what's commonly used as currency. In which case, it's silver. And it seems like the same, it's basically a recurring discussion because Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are discussing that very same point again. Okay. Now, to stand Rabbi Yechonu the Amr Eim Echalan. Now, how far reaching is this machlekes? So we had Rabbi Yechonu Rish Lakish, right? One of them held that according to Beis Shammai, gold coins are called peiros. It's not good for anything. You can't even take bananas and transfer the kedusha onto gold. And we want to prove, we want to conclude that Rabbi Yechon is the one that has that opinion in Beis Shammai. To stand the Rabbi Yechon, who the Amar Eim Echalan, not Rabbi Yechon, because we find that Rabbi Yechon elsewhere seems to hold that gold coins, even inherently, not just when it's matched up vis-a-vis silver. Gold coins don't constitute legal tender. It has value, like a precious metal. But it's not really considered money. So Rabbi Yechon says, Rabbi Yechon, also a little bit of dinar medina. Just like you can't, we said before, you can't, lend, borrow commodities with the intent of returning it after a while because it might go up in value. That's ribbis. So same with gold coins. You can't be live, also a little bit of dinar medina. You can't borrow a gold coin today to return it in a week, because then it might go up in value. And you're giving it more than you got. Because the fluctuation in value is attributed to that thing. It's a commodity that goes up and down in value. It's not money which stays static. It has fluctuation. Now, dinar demai, what type of metal we speak? What type of dinar? Ilim dinar shel kesef. Dinar shel kesef. Are we speaking about borrowing and returning a silver coin? That's not an issue. That's pure money. L'gabe nafshei mi'ikl mandam alav tivahavi. A gold coin relative to itself, meaning inherently, not matching it up with silver. Is there anybody in the world that would disagree that it's not currency? Of course it's currency. And we don't attribute fluctuation in value to the currency itself. There's no issue of ribis. Ela pshita dinah shel zahav. Oh, apparently we're speaking about borrowing a gold coin. B'dinah shel zahav, and returning that gold coin. So you're borrowing gold and you're giving back gold. You can't do that. That's Rabbi Yechon speaking. Uleman. Now whose shita is he following? Ila beis hillel. He's going like beis hillel. Ha'amri tivahavi. Beis hillel clearly told us otherwise. That a gold coin is called the currency. There's no issue there. Elav b'shamay. Oh, apparently he's following b'shamay. And Tosi says, not that Rabbi Yechon is passing like b'shamay, it's just, he's explaining b'shamay shita. Ushmamina, and it's clear from here that Rabbi Yechon, who Rabbi Yechon holds, that b'shamay take it a step further. Ein mechalin. You consider gold as merchandise, as a commodity, as a precious metal, and you can't even convert the bananas onto the gold. So even when it's not in the context of, you know, a gold-silver matchup, gold on its own is not considered money. No, says the Gemara, no. No, perhaps Rabbi Yechon was the other sheet. That it's only the gold-silver matchup which downgrades the gold into a commodity, but gold versus bananas, of course it's considered money. So why then can you borrow gold coin? Vishani halva. You know why a loan is different? Kiva del inyan mekecha memker. Shavin Rabbanu Kipeiro, since in certain contexts, gold coins are considered a commodity, such as when you're doing that transaction. Damrinam, because there we say, we attribute the fluctuation in value, oiker and the zil, the up and the down of value to the gold. It's considered merchandise. Right? That was the way we looked at the gold-silver matchup. Right? The gold is considered a commodity vis-a-vis the silver. So since in some cases, gold has that status, so even when you're just dealing with gold on its own, independent, you're borrowing and returning gold, you know, it appears, since it has that element of merchandise, element of commodity, element of fluctuation, it looks like, hey, one second, he's giving back more than he took. Even though technically speaking, it's not so, because it's regarded as pure money. In which case, the fluctuations are not attributed to the money. But in ribbis, we have to, you know, allay all impressions. We'll even prove, as such, the chiyas of Ravin. Oh, Rabbi Yechon. And Ravin came, he quoted from Rabbi Yechon, Af al bisha amru osa luvas dinar b'dinar. Although you're not meant to be borrowing gold coins with the intent of paying back old coins because of this ribbis impression, but you can use it for chil masasheni. You can convert the bananas onto the gold because, yeah, gold versus silver is problematic, but gold versus a banana, gold is called money. So it's right from here that even Rabbi Yechon holds as such. Tashma, just want a couple more lines. Tashma, we're going to go back to that discussion between Bisham and Yisilel and figure out, you know, exactly where the machlokes applies. Ha'pirid sela mimois masasheni. So this fellow has masasheni money in copper form. Prutos, right? And he's trying to upgrade it to convert it to, you know, to silver coins to make it easier to carry to Yerushalayim. So let's say he has $100 Let's say a sela is a dollar, right? So he has 100 pennies worth of sela. He can do the whole thing, convert the whole thing into silver. Rabbi Yisilel, no, half and half. B'shekel kesa, b'shekel mois, half a sela, 50 cents, convert to silver, but the other 50 cents leave in copper form, b'shekel mois, so that when you get to Yerushalayim, not everybody's running to the banks, and, you know, it's going to hike up the whole demand, so leave some change to allow you to spend it in Yerushalayim. Bottom line, what does this fellow have in his possession? Copper coins of Maser Sheni. So clearly, even according to Beishamai, who are speaking in this Mishnah, right? This fellow has in his possession copper Maser Sheni money. So he transferred the bananas onto the copper coins. Of course, it goes without saying you can do it on gold. So of course it's allowed. Apparently, gold has inherent value when it's matched up with bananas, right? No, says the one. Maybe copper has an advantage. Believe it or not, shani priti ba'asra desagid harifi. Because, like we explained before, where they accept copper coins, where they like pennies, it goes like water. and more popular than gold coins. So perhaps that explains why copper coins have an advantage and regard as currency, something which perhaps gold wouldn't have. So we didn't really conclude on that. Okay, bottom line, shlichus yad, physical shlichus yad certainly is a shlichus yad, but verbal, machlekes. The Mashiach happens on the peris, and that makes the kinin. What constitutes peris? What constitutes mois? We basically have two versions, whether it's a matter of prominence, value, that was the old version of Rebbe, and the current version in the Mishnah goes the other way. It's all about over the seicher, which coin is more commonly used, which is more popular, that constitutes kesef, and the rest is peris. All the best to you, and atzlacha rabbah.